The Blue Jays blew a series sweep, and because of that, they blew their chance at winning the division. It's Locked On Blue Jays, and it starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. He's Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Schulman. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, YouTube, Locked On Jays, Twitter at Locked On Jays, and Gmail, Locked On Blue Jays Real at gmail.com. Only a little bit of time left, and then get your playoff thoughts to us before the season ends and throughout the playoffs. We would love to hear them. Little series recap, series preview episode today with some fun thrown in the middle. The Blue Jays in a two-game set, which we declared last week, even worse than a five-game set, annoying. But Philly is their natural rival, so they play them in two-game sets and will continue to play them in two-game sets even next year with the roster or with the schedule changeup. That's just how it's going to be. So second two-game set of the year versus the Phillies. First full one with John Schneider, because he came in on the latter half two-game set against Philly when they came to Toronto. Blue Jays win game one, a ridiculous 18-11 game, but lose game two, 4-3 in extras after leading 3-0 going to the bottom of the eighth. And I start with you, Bones. What's your storyline of the series?
Now, yes, Jimmy Garcia did not have the best performance in this game. You might think, oh, wow, Jimmy's coming in and they're up big. This is going to be a cakewalk. And then he let up a bunch of runs and the tides changed and they lost. So, yes, that happened. You probably weren't very happy with him. His last two appearances against Baltimore, he gave up a run in each. So he's been a little bit rocky, but my storyline is that you should cut him a little bit of slack, because this is only the fourth time all season he's given up more than one run in a game. He's been a dog pretty much the entire year. The only other times he gave up two or more runs were August against Baltimore, June against Baltimore, and then in April against Boston, he gave up a four spot. So I don't really think people should get on Jimmy too bad. Yeah, he's had like three not great outings in a row, and that one, of course, worse than the others. But you still got to trust this guy because he's been really, really good this season.
Yeah, and you're somewhat forced to. I mean, he's the main setup guy. I agree. I mean, overall, it's a rough stretch, but I have faith in Jimmy to get out of it. And between the two setup guys that are mostly Jimmy and Bass, with a little bit of Simber Meza put in there too, Bass really isn't going to pitch to lefties a lot. Righties are so much worse against him than lefties are. Jimmy's going to pitch to both sides. So, yeah, hopefully it's a little blip in the radar. I agree with you that we should have some faith in Jimmy. He's been doing it the whole year and doing it pretty well. My storyline, I said it off the top, there goes the chance at the division. I think, you know, it wasn't necessarily an easy situation anyway. Like, they probably weren't going to get it, but game one of the series you win and it looks like the Yankees are going to lose, and they happen to put up a five spot in the bottom of the ninth inning against the Pirates. That hurts. And then the Yankees win big because they're playing the Pirates, and you go out and lose a game that you probably should have won where you're up 3-0. That knocks the Blue Jays back to 6.5 games back, with only games to play for them and 14 games to play for the Yankees. They're 7 back in the loss column. It really isn't gonna happen at this point. I mean, if it was right and you sweep the Yankees, maybe, but it feels pretty unlikely. So it's a bit of a shame. I mean, it probably wasn't gonna happen anyway, but it does kind of feel to me like losing that game and not sweeping Philly that the division is not something that the fans should be watching too heavily or concerning themselves with at this. It's probably in the rear view.
Not gonna lie, like, after they didn't make any ground in August and didn't take advantage of the worst Yankees month since 1991, I didn't think they could take the division. Like, if they weren't going to make up ground then, like, when were they going to make up ground? Obviously, it was possible, and they could have done something, but I guess I just didn't really have confidence that they would do anything because the door swung wide open for them a month ago, and they did nothing about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of optimism came when, you know, I think after second game of the Orioles series last weekend, they were 4.5 back, and it was like 4.5 back.
4.5 is a real number.
18 to go or something like that at that time, and it was like, okay, you know, still it was a lot of breaks need to go their way. So I do think your point is valid. Like, it wasn't a traditional, like, okay, if we just play real good baseball, we're going to get it. They were going to need to play near-perfect baseball, and at the same time, they were going to have to rely upon the Yankees to lose some games that, frankly, they're probably not going. I still don't think the Yankees are full stride, but they're definitely better than that August you mentioned, and they're beating most of the teams they should beat at this point. So it was going to be pretty tough. It still remains mathematically possible, but it doesn't really feel that realistic. Regardless, you know, the Blue Jays still did pick up a win in this series. These performances, who's your MVP?
You know, in a two-game set, it's kind of tough to pick an MVP, especially when one game was so offensive-heavy and the next one really wasn't, especially when the only guy who hit a home run in Game 2 did not play incredibly well in Game 1. But that being said, I'm going to go Kevin Gausman because him, aside from, like, Tim Mesa, was one of the only pitchers that wanted to show up for this series. Gausman went 6 innings, struck out 8, didn't allow a run in a game that Jays ended up losing. But he came out and he put together a good performance after a start last time out where he wasn't all that good, if you'll remember that. Gausman has been really, really good this season, but he's also blown up here and there. And he's also, the last two starts against Tampa Bay and Texas, he gave up 5 runs each. So a good bounce back here against the Phillies, who at this moment are a playoff team. So he can say that he can hang his hat on that. So I like the bounce back from Gausman.
Right. I mean, he pitched them to a win. They didn't get one, but he was definitely good enough to help earn the team a win. And like you said, I mean, after those rough starts, definitely nice to see Gausman continue doing what he's doing. He'll end with a low 3 ERA this year, you would think. And the stats will support that. He was probably one of the unluckiest pitchers in baseball, even with that. My MVP is Teoscar. Like you mentioned, kind of hard to do an MVP in a short series. So I just went to Game 1. They had so much offense. Teoscar had 4 hits in that game, 2 doubles. He propelled them. But I will give the side MVP award, the like assistant MVP award, to Sir Anthony Dominguez for and just the entire Philadelphia Phillies for just calling the just an uncallable pitch against Vladimir Guerrero Jr. yesterday. I'm watching the game, and I saw JT Realmuto set up on like the low and in corner for a fastball because he had flashed one, and I was like, oh, JT, don't do this. And then Vladdy turned on it. Like, I know he hasn't elevated low balls that well this year, but it was like low and in right where the barrel goes. It was just a terrible pitch, and one that Vladdy did exactly what he needed to do with it. So they get my side MVP because even though the Blue Jays didn't win, that was an awesome Vladdy homer. 430 feet, his 30th of the year. He has 2. I'm sorry this spiraled into Vladdy because he didn't actually play well in the series, but the home run was so good. He has two seasons now of being under 23 with 30 home runs, which is something only 20 different players have done in the majors. I'm searching for Chris Black of Sportsnet, put out the list. Here it is. Some guys on that list with under 23 seasons with 30 homers: Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez, Jose Canseco, Frank Robinson, Eddie Matthews, Ted Williams, Jimmy Fox, the guys who have 2 like Vladdy does, Cody Bellinger, Manny Machado, Giancarlo Stanton, Miguel Cabrera, Andrew Jones, a couple more, Joe DiMaggio, and Rougned Odor. Congrats. Rugnet was his best when he was young. So congrats to Rugnet.
Sure.
But yeah, there are 20 guys with multiple 30 homer seasons under 23. Fernando Tatis Jr. But yeah, so big for Vlad. Terrible pitch. Don't throw him that pitch. But yeah, anything else on the series?
I hate 2-game sets.
Yeah. All right. Let's pay some bills over here, because today's episode is brought to you by NuGenix. Look, are you feeling like you just can't get in shape right now? You're working out like you used to, but you're getting a bit of a dad bod, feeling like less of your old self. You don't have time to work out, but you want the energy your body once had. Well, you should find NuGenix. It's going to make you feel revived. Even if you're having trouble right now getting in shape, it's probably not your fault. As men age, our body naturally loses free testosterone, the man hormone. It happens to every man and can make it more difficult to stay in shape and be energetic and active. That's because when you were younger, you were at the peak of your testosterone production, what some have called the winner's hormone, what Brad Klein has called the man hormone. But wouldn't it be nice edge again in that old swagger back in your step? That's why you should check out NuGenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen. That will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, get better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man you really want to be. NuGenix Total T contains man-boosting key ingredients like Testofen. It has been validated in 5 clinical studies shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. Because NuGenix Total T boosts free testosterone that the aging process robs, you'll feel stronger, leaner, and with more energy and drive and more passion too. Your partner will notice the difference. While every product professes quality, many other products use generic ingredients that are often far less than clinical grade. With NuGenix Total T, you get the same clinicals used in the trials, and NuGenix's formulation is backed with 10 years of science and research. Right now, get a complimentary bottle of NuGenix Total T when you text MLB to 231-231. Text now and get a bottle of NuGenix Thermo, their most powerful fat ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text MLB to 231-231. Text MLB to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. Terms apply. Available at NuGenix.com/terms. What up?
Terms. Sorry about my mic quality in the first block. I didn't realize my mic was not plugged in, so it should be better now. Okay. All right. So something I was thinking about before we started the episode today was, do you think you would be, take yourself to a year ago today, think about how confident you were in the Blue Jays' ability to beat baseball teams at this time last year. That would be pretty high. They went on a tear late in the year, and they were beating pretty much everybody in sight. And then I was thinking, if you had last year's Blue Jays team in a playoff spot, would you be more or less confident than this year's team to go far? So I want to look today, and I want to talk about that exact thing. Compare these two teams and let's talk about how we feel and what they both have to offer. The Jays have 13 games left in the year after that Phillies loss. If we go back to September 22nd of last year, it was a 7-1 loss to Tampa Bay. It was actually their only 3 loss stretch past September 1st, so kind of tough time to pick. But they were really, really good last year. And I think when you look at last year's team, there are certain things that they had that this year's team doesn't have, but also, of course, things that this year's team has that they didn't have last year, like Alejandro Kirk's fantastic season and bullpen help. So there's that. But also last year, they had the Cy Young in Robbie Ray, and they also had Marcus Semien, who was absolutely going off, who actually alongside Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was just cranking home runs. So what do you think about this, Ben? How confident were you in last year's team compared to this year's? And if you think how well do you think last year's team would do if it actually made to the playoffs?
It's interesting because, you know, last year's team makes the playoffs in this year's format, you know, like last year's team finished a tiebreaker or a game out. I forget exactly what it was now. I try to block that out. But they finished a game out, not a tiebreaker. They finished a game out, but they would have made it. They would have beat Seattle for it. They would have made it. So it's interesting. They're teams that, at least in the win-loss column, seem similarly skilled. They have different strengths. I believe that I am more confident in this team than I was in last year's team. And a big source of it, and it's a tough day to do this, is the bullpen and the pitching in general. The pitching still has had its ups and downs this year for the Blue Jays. The bullpen this year is markedly better than the bullpen last year. The bullpen last year was a bit of a mess. They really didn't have options coming out of the pen. There was no Jimmy Garcia. There was no Bass, of course, because that's a midseason acquisition. Simber was good. Meza was okay. Romano was good, but he had only started closing partway through the season. And then you look down and it's like not options. Like, they were turning to really young guys, both in starts and relief appearances. I mean, the day after, like tomorrow last year, Thomas Hatch started a game for the Blue Jays. Like, it's just,
that's nuts.
It was an interesting season. Now, obviously, you had Robbie Ray in the rotation. Robbie Ray is great, especially last year. Alek Manoah this year is better. So for me, that kind of cancels. Barrios was good in his half season last year, but you know, he's okay this year, at least. You know, he's not awful anymore. And Gausman is there, and Gausman and Strip are better than the 2-3 punch you get from last year, which is probably like Manoah and second half Barrios. Strip was making some starts last year, but he wasn't good. Much better this year. So I will say the offense last year, I have more confidence in. Obviously, you mentioned Marcus Semien. He literally set the record for home runs hit by a second baseman in a season. Like, I think we're still not fully taking in the fact, or like discussing enough. We will in years to come, that Marcus Semien hit 45 home runs last year. Like, that is ridiculous. No one on the Blue Jays is going to come close to 45 home runs this year. So, you know, that was phenomenal. You had, you know, Teoscar hitting better last year. Obviously, Vladdy hitting better. You mentioned, though, the catcher spot has been way more offensively talented this year, with the, frankly, kind of just subtraction of the Reese McGuire at-bats. Jano's having the best offensive year, and so is Kirk. Bo is actually kind of even, we've discovered, from this year to last year. Those years end up being kind of the same, so I'm a little more confident this year, to make a long answer wrapped up into one point. A little more confident because the pitching is better, and I'd rather – the Blue Jays have brought a lot of strong hitting teams to the stretch run or even to the playoffs occasionally, and I'd rather go in with a good pitching team or a better pitching team. Obviously, the offense is still the calling card, but I think the pitching, especially in the bullpen, sets up better for the stretch run in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, the pitching's definitely better, and I'll give you that. And like you said, the bullpen last year was a bit of a mess. Having been on the outside looking in last year compared to this year, I don't think I viewed the Jays bullpen as anything to worry about. And there's probably some merit behind that, despite Simber and Romano having good years.
They were bad last year. They were,
yeah, the they just bad. Like, they just didn't. I mean, there were 32 innings from Rafael Dolas. Like, there's just random.
He's not good. Dolas is bad.
Yeah. So it was an interesting year. But I do think the offense, there's something to say about the offense. They were better last year at times, and especially down the stretch that showed when you had – I mean, there were just so many home runs last year. You had a team that there were seven guys with 20-plus home runs. Like, that doesn't really happen all that often. So the Jays last year were really, really good. They just didn't make it to the playoffs. And I think they could have been one of those teams that if they do sneak into the playoffs, they make some noise. But I think I'd still, I am still more confident in this year's team. The reason I think it's a little bit close is that Vlad is not as hot. And last year, what made the Blue Jays dangerous is that Vlad could homer any time that he's at the plate. And it was really scary. And then if he didn't, Semien might. So, I mean, they were only three home runs off. And like you said, Semien set the record for homers by a second baseman. And he was fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a different team, but at the same time, a little bit of the same team. And they had a lot of similar qualities. But I will say that the other thing that I don't think either of us maybe thought of foremost is that another year of experience under their belts this year does help. And I think I will take this year's team over last year's team, and hopefully they can make some noise in the playoffs. But until then, ads.
Ads. All right. Well, they need to make some noise right now. And I know we're in the territory of every series is this, but I think I can pretty definitively say that this will be the most important series, unless they blow something, for the rest of the season. The Blue Jays, with a four-game set at Tropicana Field, and there are two big things about this series. Obviously, the Tampa Bay Rays are close behind the Blue Jays, and that is something to look at. As we flash to the wild card standings right now, the Blue Jays still occupy the first spot, 2.5 up on Seattle in the bottom spot. How's that loss to the A's feeling? But the Blue Jays are two games up on Tampa, and home field advantage is a big thing. Also, the Blue Jays don't own the tiebreaker over Seattle. They don't own the tiebreaker over Tampa, but they have a shot to get it in this series. If they win the series, a 3-1 win in the four games, then the Blue Jays do own the tiebreaker over Tampa, which is almost like gaining an extra game on them, because now you can be tied with them and still be in the lead. So I say this to say, Bones, who are you afraid of on the Tampa Bay Rays? Who's your scary?
You know, the Rays this year are not the Rays of last year. And, you know, last year they had so many guys who were red hot and they were winning so many games. I'm just less scared of them this year than I was last year. You caught me in the wrong year, because I'm just not afraid when they've trotting out guys like Taylor Walls every day, who's hitting 173. And nobody else on the team can get their OPS above 800 besides Yandy, but I ain't going to pick Yandy. I'm going to go back to their rotation, okay? Because that's the only place that actually does scare me. I'm going to go to a guy who has cooled off significantly from when he was really hot earlier in the season. I'm going Shane McClanahan, who made his first All-Star appearance this year. Was in Cy Young running for pretty much the entire year. He still is really good. A 2.36 ERA on the season, 190 strikeouts through 156 and one-third innings. But his last start against Houston, he was awful. Four innings pitched, five earned runs. He walked four guys. He only struck out three, gave up a homer. He wasn't there. It was the first loss decision he's had since August 6th, and I don't think he's going to be very happy, and I think he's going to be pitching mad, which usually does not bode well for an opponent. So I'm going to go Shane McClanahan, who's looking for his first double-digit strikeout performance since July 2nd against the Blue Jays.
I was there.
I'm going McClanahan.
I was there. I've seen two Blue Jays games as a spectator this year. Both of them.
Did we lose him? Oh no, he's here.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, he can't hear me now. Can you hear me? Oh goodness gracious! I'm trying to tell him to restart. I don't think he's taking the message. Now he's frozen. Well, anyway. Is he back? Hey, man.
Yeah. I've seen two Blue Jays games. Them were pitched by Shane McClanahan. Neither of them were fun. But Shane McClanahan, really good. He left that last start with neck tightness, but he said he's fine. So he should be good to go. You almost got into like a not afraid kind of thing when you were like, I'm not afraid to take a stand. So I'll say every Yandy, come grab my hand. I'm going Yandy Diaz. He's just like quietly having a pretty fantastic season. He's hitting .292 with 41 extra base hits, 32 doubles this year for Yandy, and .818 OPS, which is his highest OPS. He's about to have his highest OPS plus. Yandy Diaz with a 142 OPS plus, which means he's 42% better than the average player. It's not something you're used to. He's sneaky, one of the longest tenured Rays. He's been a Ray since 2019, so that's like a while for them.
Yeah, about to start cycling people in and out.
It's a while. I mean, honestly, that's kind of a while for even the Blue Jays, but that is a while for them. And absolutely raked the Blue Jays. 12 games, 11 starts, .390 average, two homers and a double, 1.040 OPS. He's just doing it against the Blue Jays. To be honest, there's only three teams in the American League he has a higher OPS against than the Toronto Blue Jays, and some of them are non-divisional teams that he doesn't play that much. He only hits the Red Sox better in the division. Yandy's scary, and he'll populate the bases a lot for Randy and for Wander and all the dogs.
Yeah, I like that, all the dogs.
Who's your hype train?
Yeah, you know, Yandy, he's a little bit spooky, but I've gotten over him. He's not that scary to me anymore. My hype train, he's a guy that the Rays should be scared of. Locked On Rays right now is probably thinking, clacking in their boots, knowing that this guy's showing up on, what is this, Thursday? So Thursday. I'm going Santiago Espinal, man. Last time I made Santiago Espinal my hype train, I think he went like 0-9 in the series. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But you'd be surprised to know that Santiago Espinal has been fantastic against the Rays this season. He's been an absolute dog against the Rays. So, I mean, that's something you got to think about. He's played 14 games against the Rays. He's got an .834 OPS against them. He's hit a home run. He's hit 13 singles, or actually 10 singles, two doubles and a homer, four ribbies. I mean, the guy is just a menace when it comes to Tampa Bay. So I'm going Santi.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick. Santi the Menace. I'm going to go with Danny Jansen, Blue Jays catcher. Last 10 games for Danny that he has played in, he's hitting .441 with a 1.265 OPS, two homers and five doubles, 15 hits in his last 10 games. He has been really good. He's putting together the best offensive season of his career. 13 homers ties the most in a season, but in 2019, he played 107 games. He's only played 60 this year due to injury and rotating. His .847 OPS, although not qualified, the best on the team, which is not something you think about very often, but Jano is doing it, and I hope he can for the rest of the year. He's also a pretty good season against the Rays, .840 OPS against the Rays this year. So I like him hitting homers in the Trop, where we will watch four games in a row, and we'll give you a bit more on that series coming up tomorrow. For now, that's all we got on Locked On Blue Jays. Now make your second listen, the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan writes a poem, sings a song, does a dance, and tells you who's going to make the playoffs. It's really cool. You should check it out on the Locked On Network. But for Matt Bonaparte, I'm Ben Schulman. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you tomorrow.